I know that you all can agree that the Bucks are doing a hell of a job against the Celtics, winning game one this weekend, and they get back on the court tonight to play game two. And yet, Gabe, you tell me that the Bucks are once again 4.5-point dogs.
They are dogs, according to Vegas, going into this game. And I just don't think the Bucks are going to roll over the Celtics. Like, the Celtics are a proud team. They're a good team. Just because they had their way with Boston in game one, like, we've seen this in Bucks series before, where the Bucks play poorly or they get dominated in game one and then they come back and win the series. That's pretty much been their MO of the Mike Budenholzer era, where they don't play great in game one. Now, this is great that they got off to this fantastic start, but the Celtics are still a really damn good basketball team. And I'm not just going, oh, roll up the basketballs. Bucks are going to win by 15.
Who played horrible?
The Celtics shot horrible, and part of that was the Bucks' defense.
Yeah.
I also think that the Celtics are going to make more shots, particularly two-point shots, in tonight's game.
And their best players obviously just didn't really show up. We had talked about how you can't let Tatum get going in the second half. He made a couple of buckets that made me nervous, but for the most part, Milwaukee's defense was able to shut him down. Let's hear from Stephen A. Smith, who weighed in on the Bucks-Celtics series on his show First Take.
I picked the Celtics to win this series in 7 games. By halftime, I was ready to change my pick. I mean, they have no answer for Giannis. Zero. You know, he's bigger. He's stronger. He's faster. It reminds me, remember that? It's old school. Remember Steve Austin, the Bionic Man, the $6 million man, the Bionic Man, and stuff like that? You know, he's better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster. I mean, this is who Giannis Antetokounmpo is. And they have no answer for him.
Do you remember that show? So good.
I remember Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Every time he did something superhuman, they'd play the drop. I used to think of
that. Is that Wonder Woman?
No, that's the Bionic Man, which Stephen A. is talking about. Ashton, see if you can find it.
I know what you're talking about because Michael Scott did a bit of this in The Office.
He did?
I know what you're talking about. Because the show that I watched did a bit on the show that you're talking about.
So is he still taking the Celtics in 7, or did he walk that back?
He walked that back.
That was his point.
Do you guys agree with me it's all about game 4?
I don't think it's all about
Celtics
game 4.
Are going to win tonight. Bucks are going to win the next game, and it's all the Bucks should win game 4. They win game 4 at 6. They lose game 4, it's going 7, and I don't know how it's going to go.
I mean, I like the fact that you think that way. Maybe I'm more confident than you guys tonight. I think it's going to be a tougher game for them to win because we had said on Sunday it felt like the Bucks were in control from the jump. I was afraid. I was nervous. There were times I was like, okay, here we go. Here comes that Celtics run. We anticipated it. We knew it was coming, and it never did. So, like, I'm more confident, I feel like, in the Bucks' ability to duplicate that effort from the other night and to force the Celtics into taking bad shots, because we had talked about how the inside game and how you handle the paint is going to be the determining factor in this one. I don't think that changes. Do you?
The Celtics made 10 two-pointers. 10. Second time NBA history that it's ever happened in a playoff game.
They're going to make more than 10 two-pointers. Let's be clear on that.
Yes, 100%.
But if they win game 4... that give them the trophy. I'm just telling you, mark it. They win game 4, give them the trophy. I don't care if the Suns are at full strength, it will not matter. Give them the trophy. I don't even know if I'm going to watch tonight. I'm just going to wait for game 4.
Every single time he comes up with an excuse for not watching. So what was the excuse for Sunday? Oh, there was football on.
Yeah, USFL.
That's good stuff.
Watching Paxton
as we determined,
Lynch.
The S stands for sucks and the L stands for lame.
I'm telling you, book it.
At least we now know why he's continuing to push this theory is all I have to care about is game 4 because in my mind, so he doesn't even have to watch game 2 or 3. He just has to wait for game 4.
How mad are you going to be if I'm right, though?
No one's mad when you're right.
That is a lie.
Some people are mad when you're right.
Says the person who said her own name over Chewy's drop yesterday.
That's just because there isn't a Jen drop. Not because I'm mad about him. I like him having success. It makes me happy. It makes the show happy.
I've got several Jen drops back here. I don't know what you're talking about. It's been a while.
Oh, ukulele. Where's he at? Did he get drafted?
No.
No, he's a kid. He's like a sophomore.
Oh.
Yeah, he's very young. So Nate Jones tweeted this the other day, and I think it's a really good assessment of like how this series is going to go, guys. He says, Middleton is the better player, but Brook Lopez more indispensable versus the Celtics. They would not have been able to make up for Brook not being on the floor or healthy the way they have been able to make up for Middleton not being there. Agree or disagree, Gabe?
No, 100% agree, because there's no replacement for Brook Lopez. With Chris, it's unfortunate because he can play some pretty good defense. He's going to knock down some tough shots. And I thought that they were going to potentially miss Chris, especially in the fourth quarter when things get tight, because he's somebody who can create his own shot. He can hit that tough 15-footer with a hand in his face, and you can still get some efficient offense out of him in the half court. Now, fortunately, they didn't miss him. But that being said, like, they've got Grayson Allen, they've got, you know, Pat Connaughton, they've got guys in there that can play some pretty good defense, knock down open shots when Giannis hits them. They can't do everything Chris does, but like, there's nobody who can do anything close on this roster to what Brook Lopez does.
But do they come out tonight like, we're splitting, we're happy?
No, I don't think so at all.
You
that
think
just
they
doesn't seem
the,
like this team.
The foot on the throat?
I feel like after game two of that Bull series, something awakened in them, because they have been playing some really inspired defense ever since then. And it starts with Wes and it starts with Drew in the way they pressure the ball, sometimes in the backcourt, right away when it comes over the half-court line. That's where that starts, is that defensive pressure. And because they're starting three big guys, they can just pack up the paint and make it so tough for Jason Tatum to finish at the rim.
Is Brook Lopez being out the reason why the Bucks defense was just average during the regular
1,000%.
Season? Okay, but my question to you is this, right? Because you look at the box score, and I know that this can be a fool's errand at times. He played 28 minutes, 3 for 7, 0 for 2 from three-point, which again is fine. You'd like for him to hit a three-pointer every once in a while, but it's not mandatory for him. 10 rebounds, 6 points, but his plus minus was minus 10. How do you explain that? Like, how does that shake itself out? Where, look, we know by the eye test, watching the games, that he's invaluable, that you cannot win against this big Celtics lineup without Brook Lopez. But then you look at the box score and he has a minus 10 in a game that they won.
Yeah, I mean, he was in early in the game when the Celtics jumped out to their early lead. He kind of came out and the Bucks went on a run. But he's, and you just see other Celtics players talk about how tough it is to finish over Brook Lopez. I mean, you think late in that game, he's a big reason why the Celtics never actually went on the run that you were expecting, because Jason Tatum tries to get to the rim, tries to finish over Brook. He just does such a good job of staying vertical and not fouling and be able to protect the rim. Yeah, it's one game. He was minus 10 in that single game, but their defense is just so damn good with him on the floor.
So here's what I want you to do very quickly. From a replaceability standpoint, power rank the Bucks on the roster, okay? I think it starts with Giannis. From a replaceability standpoint, yep. Then how would you go with the guys who are currently on the floor? Who's the most invaluable? Can't be replaced.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, Giannis is one. I'm going to say Drew is two. Mm-hmm. Brooke is three.
Is Drew two? I know that his defense has been stellar. We obviously want him to continue to pick up his offensive production, which he helped with in this game against the Celtics. But, like, can you replace Drew more easily than you can replace Brook Lopez?
No, because their backup point guard is Javon Carter. I
what?
Wish everyone could have seen the look on Jen just took a bad shot of tequila. That was the face she made after I mentioned
what you're talking
Javon
about.
Carter.
I would never have that reaction to the mention of Javon Carter.
Like,
no.
Javon's a fine player, but he can't create the way that Drew can create. So even while the shooting numbers for Drew haven't been fantastic, what he can do in terms of initiating the offense, getting the Bucks into their sets, they just don't have the replacement.
All right,
for that.
So add Middleton into the equation. Is he too?
And does it change by series?
Yeah.
It changes by series, I think. I think it has to change by series in the matchups. Because the other thing is, if Drew is out, but you have Chris, I think you can kind of do some of the similar things. Now, the defense certainly going to suffer because Chris is not the defender that Drew is, but I think Chris can still kind of handle the ball, get the Bucks into some of their things, get to his spots.
But then, see, if it does depend on series, I think I would make the argument that Brook is more invaluable against this Celtics team than Drew. Again, I think Drew's a fantastic facilitator. We obviously know how fantastic he is at defense as well. But I also wonder if you could have someone step in and be that guy, especially with Giannis taking on some of the facilitator role as well. And again, need that post presence of Brook Lopez in order to stymie these Celtics.